Unpolished Little Gems, Episode 12. Gone.
A relaxation tape has unexpected consequences. Mindfulness stars Jennifer Nettles and was written and produced by Tasmin Pinder.
Your personalized meditation practice is tailored to meet your individual needs. Sit back, relax, close your eyes, and let all your conscious thoughts, worries, stresses drift away. I want you to count backwards, and as you do so, begin to visualize that you are lying on a tropical beach. 500, 499, 498, 497. Feel the warm sand against your feet. 493, 492. Spread your arms out and feel your body becoming heavier, sinking, sinking, deeper and deeper as you relax. 480, 479, 478, 477. Bring your attention to the soles of your feet and imagine the sea washing over them. And as the tide goes out, all the tension in your body is released. Breathe in and out. 460, 459. Now bring your attention to your legs and imagine the waves releasing any tension in your calves, your thighs. Relax. 346, 345. Breathe in and out. In and out. 343. Any tension in your upper body, your back, your neck, just washed away by the tide. As you continue to breathe deeply, 332, 331. And your body sinks into relaxation, becoming heavier, sinking into the sand. 300, 299. Breathe in and out. Releasing all of that built-up tension from the day. 276, 275, 274. Callum. Now that you are fully relaxed, I have your attention. And I have a confession to make. This is not really a mindfulness program, Callum, although it will make you mindful of the things you have done. I want you to cast your memory back to the summer of 2008. Do you remember the business trip you went on in Newcastle? 33, 32, 31. The conference that finished so late that by the time you had to drive home, you could barely keep your eyes open. Should have stayed over, you thought, but then your boss wanted you at work first thing the next day. The roads were quiet anyway. 29, 28, 27. It was dark, your eyelids heavy, when suddenly, out of nowhere, something stepped out in front of you. You tried to swerve, slammed on the brakes, but you smashed into it. It must have been a deer on the road. But even then, you knew, really, it wasn't. You saw, in the rearview mirror, a girl's red woolen coat. 25, 24. You didn't get out to look, did you? Because you knew, you thought you knew, she was 20, 19, 18. Broken neck, fractured vertebrae and pelvis, permanent muscular and nerve damage, legs and arms broken in several places, scars all over her body, her face. Oh, she'd be paralyzed and disfigured for the rest of her life. but she was not, as you'd thought at the time, dead. 15. 14. Nobody was around. Nobody had seen. You drove away, sped off down that road. But Callum, I know what you did, because I was that girl, the girl whose life you destroyed. 13, 12. Pay attention to the drawer beside your bed, Callum. There are two bottles of pills. As I count backwards from 10, I want you to swallow those pills. This will cause your liver and kidneys to gradually fail. It will result in your death. 10, 9, 8, 7. Breathe in and out. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
John is searching in his flat for something that is lost. Lost stars Dave Patton as John and was written and produced by Tracy Hayward.
Where is it? Where did she put it? Oh no, John, we don't need a system in the flat. Let's just put everything in completely whimsical, nonsensical places. So every time we want to find something, it's like a little scavenger hunt, 15 times a day. What could be better, eh? You've got 20 seconds to leave the flat, but let's have an impromptu treasure hunt before we leave. A place for everything and everything in its place, that's what I say. I mean, is that so wrong? I mean, you've got your keys, your wallet, your phone on the wee side table in the hallway, conveniently located next to your front door, so that you pick them up when you leave the flat and you put them back there when you return. Oh, no. Apparently the best place for the wallet is the dining room table. Best place for the keys is the coffee table. And for the phone, well, down the back of the sofa, of course. She would just wander about shedding objects as she walked around the house like some sort of snake with skin. There was no rhyme or reason to it. I tried for a while to second guess her, to learn her patterns. But there was no logic to it at all. One day her hairbrush was in the hallway and the next in the bathroom. I was in favour of that one, actually. And the next day in the bedroom. What does it matter, she'd say. It's not worth bothering about. You probably wouldn't care so much if you got out of the flat a little bit more. It would do you good to get some fresh air. They say it helps. Oh, aye. Because we all know everything's solved by staring at some trees and birds. And besides, the park was quite a ways away and... Nah. I just liked having things where I knew where I could find them. I mean, is that so terrible? It's all a matter of personal preference, you'd say. And I thought that by inviting me to live in your flat, you would be accepting of the fact that I too have a personal preference, and that you would tolerate that. And so did I, actually. I just didn't realise how wide and varied these personal preferences would be for all the objects we'd go in the house. When she used to come round at first, when we got together, it wasn't so bad. She'd bring her handbag and things always tended to end up back in there. Back then, things didn't seem to matter as much and, well, back then everything was a lot easier. We would lay in bed in the morning with plates of toast, cups of tea and newspapers sprawled all across the bed. We used to stay there all day laughing and kissing and, well... Then we'd go on the balcony and dance to the radio as the sun set over the city. Where is that thing? Gee. But then she moved in and the stuff came. Like an invading empire. I honestly wouldn't have minded if it was a system to it, you know. For instance, a book and playwright in the bathroom. With a post-it note with a smiley face drawn and the words, "Read me, John." A leaflet from the doctors about it being... "Time to talk," pinned in the fridge door, with a magnet that came free with a margarine. Oh God, look, there it is there. I found it. It's a postcard she sent to me when we just started dating. Then she went and hollered with her mates in New York that time. Photo of Broadway, it's all lit up at night. On the back here she's written, "Dear John, I know one day we will come here together and we'll watch the opening night of whatever wonderful play you write that gives you your big break. Love, Tina. Kiss, kiss, kiss." Oh aye, she believed in me all right. She believed in me long after I stopped believing in myself. She believed in me long after I stopped writing. Long after I stopped doing, well, anything, actually. And a wee bit longer after that. That was until she stopped believing in me at all and moved out of the flat. 4 years ago last month, that was. You know, you can't say she didn't try, though. No, you certainly couldn't say that at all. But I've found her postcard now. So I'm going to post it there with a flyer of my Edinburgh show, Glasgow Nights, it's called. It's a one-man show I've written and I'll be performing there. Now, it's not a Broadway show, right? But it's a start, eh? One critic described it as optimistic. Well, she never would have guessed all those years ago, or maybe she would have. Maybe she would have. Maybe that's why she hung around for so long. But anyway, I did everything she asked me to do eventually, a few years after she left. I talked, I got out of the house, and I wrote. And then I wrote a love story. She was the inspiration for it, actually. It's the best thing I've ever written. I think it was because it was inspired by the best person I'd ever known. I had to do it justice. I had to do justice to the subject matter. So I thought it was important that she knew about the show. After all these years of encouraging me, even if I did leave it all a wee bit late, she might even come to watch it. I don't know. I mean, it's not too far to travel, is it? She might come. I don't know. We'll see, right? We'll see. I just don't. I'll send it to her and we'll see. Maybe she will and maybe she won't, but yeah, you don't know if you don't try, do you?